Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Parada. Solo run today. First Sharp Side pod in a while. Very excited for US Open this week. Absolutely buzzing after the clutch 700 foot Nick Taylor putt that fell in the Canadian Open. First win in a while. It was big time. Thankfully, a loser like Tommy Finau just choked again. And you know what? That's what white happens. And right hand up, I bet on losers sometimes. But, you know, when you don't and, you know, you just watch them crumble and it works out my favor, really validating for me. So that was big. That was big on Sunday. So feel good. Good amount of Momo headed into a major this week. Really quick, I guess I can just get right into it. 2023 U.S. Open. You know, just I haven't done a whole lot in terms of like analysis throughout the year, but it's, you know, there's a clear top one and then a number two guy, and then, you know, the third through five could be up for debate. I'd listen to arguments for Rory, Hovland, Brooks. Obviously the one in my mind is Scotty, the two in my mind is Rom. Then I'd say there's a big drop off, but yeah, the next tier is a little vague, I would assume. Kind of depends on just like personal opinion. I would listen to arguments for anyone in there. It just depends on the week, depends on the course, really. So the 2023 U.S. Open is being played at the Los Angeles Country Club. Very cool. I'm not going to like preview the course hole by hole. Neither know enough about it to really talk about it that much, nor will it be insightful enough for you to listen to it. Just would be a waste of everyone's time. So you can go find really cool course previews on No Laying Up on YouTube or the Fried Egg. They really get like all of those cool drone shots and stuff. That's what I looked at. Found it pretty helpful. Having watched those, I see a lot of Southern Hills and a little bit of Augusta in this course. There's like the pretty, like fairly wide, like sloping fairways, super complex greens. And, you know, I think in terms of the greens, I think that's going to lead to a little bit of a field leveling in terms of putting. You know, I think that's pretty consistent throughout most majors. Sometimes you get the majors where you really do have to be a good putter, just, you know, if it's a little bit flatter, maybe not just not super as demanding, really. I'm going to be honestly, like, I don't really factor in season-long putting all that much anyways. We'll get to that when we talk about Scotty, when we talk about Colin Morikawa, Justin Thomas, etc., Cam Young. Just a preview of who I did bet. But back to the course. Fairways, as I said, very slopey. It's going to demand a little bit of artistry and control of your golf ball, especially with irons. I'm sure everyone's seen like that there's just ridiculous 290-yard par threes, which is honestly, I think, pretty dumb. But it's different. It's going to be really hard. And I like that. I like seeing these incredible golfers just really get tested. It's just, you don't see it all that much weekly on the PGA Tour, so it's why I always really look forward to this event. And finally, in typical US Open fashion, it's going to be long shit. The rough is pretty high, but I don't think it's going to be as boring of a bomb and gouge course like it is at Torrey Pines or Wingfoot. So I do think that will be a little bit, there's going to be more variety in shots, and we're going to see a ton of like fairway woods and, you know, a lot of long irons, which I love. Those are the most exciting shots in golf to me, as opposed to I'm going to hit driver as far as I can, and then hopefully I have a wedge. And so it's going to be good. Should be a brutal test, but a really, really fun watch. But honestly, you guys don't care about that. Let's get into the outrights. Let's make some money. So first, I'm going to avoid talking about, just to save time, most of the top of the board. But I do need to talk about Scotty, because I do have a little bit of a strategy there. Honestly, the way he's hitting the ball, he could go out and win by six. Just that simple to me. That doesn't really happen in the US Open, but he is I think since Rory, the first person to put themselves into the Tiger Woods tier of ball striking, where he is so far above the pack with what he's doing with the driver in his hands, with a wedge in his hands, with an iron in his hands, that it's fairly incomparable. And everything Tiger did was incomparable, so it makes sense. But the thing is he hasn't been winning because he has been so bad at putting. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, he got a wider putter. You know what that means. Game over for everyone. Magically fixed. Also, he was a really good putter last year. I mean, I don't think he was necessarily, you know, top three, although he definitely could have been close. But, you know, you saw his name up there with Cam Smith, you know, the Denny McCarthys, all those guys up there at the top of the list. And he won a lot, which I think goes to show how big of an improvement he made ball striking wise. There's an interesting lesson to be learned about the golfing public just kind of swarms to this one guy who, you know, he wins two or three times, you know, and like in Scotty and John Rahm's case, you know, 3 to 5 times. And it's, oh, the best golfer in the world, you know, few guys like him in his generation. And that's fine. And like, in all honesty, I think it's good. It provides a little bit of historical context, but it normally just follows if you carry a hot putter for 2 or 3 months. We're seeing that with John Rahm this season. We saw that with Scotty last year. And not since Tiger and Rory too, has there really been anyone who bludgeoned field after field while still just being an average or below average putter. And frankly, like, he's doing that pretty consistently, but he's not winning. So it kind of just looks a little bit different. And so if he can, you know, put together a couple weeks here, he's going to collect win after win after win. Now, he will not hit the ball as well as he did at Memorial. It was one of the greatest ball striking performances ever in the history of the sport. And expecting that again is ridiculous. And so it's not going to happen. But how accurate he is off the tee with how far he hits it, the way he hits long irons and wedges, and how good he is and how consistent he is around the green, it's like, it's, the floor is absurdly high. So I do have a bet around that. And one last thing to touch on with his putting is that in terms of lag putting, I believe it was of putts 25 feet and longer on misses, he's like third closest to the hole. So maybe there's some sort of regression aspect to that there. You know, maybe a couple more fall. It's just kind of barely missing almost. Personally, I'm hoping for a slow start so I can live bet him on Friday or Saturday. I had bets on him at the Masters and at the PGA Championship. Didn't go my way. Bet him at the Players, which that was nice. And I do have a future for the British Open. I think it's 12-1 for Scotty. I was on him pretty early last year. Really root for him. So I won't be super bummed if he wins. I mean, I will be rooting more so for my bets. But there's a potential. I think the storylines are pretty great with him, Rory, Brooks, and Rahm, with this potential, you know, legacy and career changes that can come with a win here or a win at the Open this next year. So it's should be really exciting to follow him along, and just what he does is fun to watch and just absurdly consistent. And now with the short putting issues, maybe a little bit of scar tissue. So, you know, if he is only up 1 or 2 and he has a 5-footer on 18, the drama could be pretty high. So it's tough. He's just way too good. But time to move on. So I'll hit like Rory, Xander, Cantlay, Rahm later. But so I'm just going to run through my bets real quick. First bet I made, Colin Morikawa. It was 35-1. He withdrew 2 weeks ago with back spasms. He was actually pretty close to the lead. This is at Memorial. And honestly, I'm not worried about it. I'm betting an outright. I'm betting the you know, the full ceiling. So it's also, it's back spasms. It's not, you know, there are, you know, it's, I mean, there is, could be cause for concern, but he's playing. And if he's playing, I just assume he's healthy or good enough to where he thinks he can contend or hang around. And if he misses the cut because he's so hurt, then, you know, chalk that one up to variance, I guess. I think this is a great course setup for him. So there's penalty around the rough, which everyone gets. I think that's really good for Colin because he'll just kind of be at the mercy of the lie like everyone else is. It's not those tight fairway around the green shots where I think someone that's pretty bad at chipping like him sort of falls back to the field because you get the guys like Scheffler, Spieth, JT, Rahm, who they're so good and have so much control over those chips that that's where they kind of create an advantage for themselves. You see this a lot at Augusta. And so it's, I think that that weakness of his is lessened a little bit. And then the same thing with the putting where these, the greens are just so intense that a lot of people are going to miss a lot of greens and, or excuse me, they're going to miss a lot of putts. And so, you know, and it's the majors, right? So we see it's, you know, Will Zalatoris last year was so bad at putting all year, and then it'd come to the majors and you'd go, oh my gosh, did he find the fix? Did he find the fix? Oh, this looks so bad. And I think this, Colin goes through something similar. And so it's, no, I'm not really concerned that much about that. He is, you know, I think that bad conditions are just awful situations for him because he can't just do the robotic, you know, iron shot, iron shot, iron shot. Oh my gosh, it's 8 feet, 10 feet, 12 feet. And then, you know, makes one of the three putts with, I was looking at the weather forecast. It's looking like 5 to 8 to 10 mile an hour winds. And that's pretty good, especially for this place. So it's, I'm not really worried about the external factors affecting him. And he's going to be in the fairway a lot. He's going to hit beautiful, immaculate iron shots. I think 35-1 for a two-time major winner with a guy who carries as much win equity as anyone. I think it's a phenomenal bet. So that was the first thing I really saw, clicked at, and bet. So very excited for Colin Morikawa this week. Also, great history at Augusta, Kapalua, those slopey fairways, the tough fairway iron shots he's going to play very, very nicely at. Cam Smith, 30-1. Everything I pretty much just said about Colin transferred to Cam Smith. Only difference is I'm going to need him to be in the fairway a little bit more, but I find it would be a great course fit. I do think that the magic hands around the green are going to be lessened a little bit. Just that he's still an elite iron player, one of the best in the world. Hits the ball a little bit further than people think and really give him credit for, I believe. And another guy who really thrives at the slopey fairway courses, Augusta Kapalua. And would like to remind everyone that last year at Southern Hills, which I do think it will play pretty similarly to, he had probably one of the worst putting weeks of his career. I think he was like among the worst in the field. And he was the best ball striker in the field. And then, you know, he just like narrowly came, I think it was like 25th, something around there, 20th to 10th in that range a little bit. And so, you know, we get the Cam Smith hot putter, like he did at St. Andrews with tough greens. Feeling pretty good about that. That was 30-1 that I bet Cam Smith at. On to the next one. And these next two are going to be painful for me because they are in such bad form for what they are capable of anyways. And it's Justin Thomas at 45-1 and Cameron Young at 40-1. So Justin Thomas, we'll start here. He's still an elite iron player. He's still elite around the greens. He's still very good off the tee. Hits it far enough. Accuracy comes and goes a little bit. And that dude is still ass at putting. That being said, I don't see... There's been slight regression in the things that he was elite at, like the iron play, the driving, and a little bit about the chipping. But I don't see that big of a difference compared to what he's been in the past. With the winner at Southern Hills last year, he's pretty good at Augusta, pretty good at Kapalua. there is something that to having Bones on the bag for him where I just think that he just kind of, there's a little bit of a floor aspect in majors that he provides. This is kind of how I like to play majors. You kind of get the guys who are underpriced a bit. And honestly, I probably should play more golf tournaments like this. Although it's because it's so, they're so different compared to what we normally see week to week. Because, you know, sometimes you get, and, you know, not to throw shade on the 3M Open, but sometimes I think Tony Finau goes out to the 3M Open and, you know, maybe he's just focusing more on working on something a little bit more as opposed to, you know, really going out there to like grind his face off and win. And I think that's kind of where JT has been at so that he can peak for these majors. And straight up, hasn't really gone his way the first two this year. And I'm a little bit, he's shown a little bit better with bad putting performances. I think recent, I'll try and pull up recent form right now. He missed the cut at the Memorial. Just awful, awful short game performance. Pretty gain strokes, ball striking though. And then T65 at the PGA Championship where he was, he got stuck in the bad wave too. And I think that did affect him a bit. But then the Wells Fargo T14, phenomenal ball striking. The Heritage, phenomenal ball striking again, T25, and then miscut the Masters, T10 at Valspar. So I think the results are actually a little bit better than people have given him credit for. They just haven't been at the marquee events of the year. And I think that we're going to see something a little bit closer to his peak this week just because it's so different. And I think that with the things that he's bad at, you know, putting, are going to be coming a little bit closer to the field. I think it's going to be pretty live here, especially at 45-1. It's like you always hear, it's like there's like a Colin Morikawa argument where it's, oh my gosh, he's 40-1, have to bet this, don't care what it is. It's like the Brooks Koepka thing where it's a guy, especially a guy like Justin Thomas, where he wins a lot. So he carries this win equity and I'm not super worried about him gagging it down the stretch. You know, I'm not betting him to finish top 10. Because you need like a little bit of a higher floor for that. So I'm feeling good about 45-1. But time for Cam Young, where it's the same thing. He has had a much better season this year. Same thing, except he is much worse at chipping. But once again, I like with high rough, and he's actually above average technically. But he is so bad at putting, and especially recently. And I'm just hoping that he really finds just some change. He's taken it, or actually he played last week, but he also hit the ball. And I think there was like a little half of a wave kind of got screwed a little bit. And he was part of that. And he's just one of the massive outliers alive on the PGA Tour. And sometimes he just plays a completely different course than everyone. That 290 yard par three is going to play a whole lot more differently for him than it is Colin Morikawa. With how far he hits the ball, I can't believe, I was looking at this earlier, I would have expected him to have some sort of good performance in US Open, but he missed the cut in all three of his appearances. So it's, you know, everyone's off him right now. So it kind of feels a little grimier than it is. And, you know, I'm sure I'll be laughing at myself next week when Cameron Young and JT are all just, you know, the reason there's 50-1s out there and for both of them, actually, which just simply don't have access to. Okay, back to Cameron Young. He was great at the Masters. PGA Championship did not go well because the dude could not putt, could not chip, but he hit the ball great. He's always going to hit the ball great. His long irons are incredible. He's outstanding. He's outstanding with woods. And I think with the caddy change, which is also underrated, I think just giving it time, I think it's going to work out in the end. It has not yet though. Although it started off second place T7. So who knows? But, you know, I'm giving it time for things to work out. And I think that at this number, I mean, I've been betting him 20-1, 25-1 in comparable fields, you know, so time for me to put my money where my mouth is. Cameron Young is one of my winners this week. It's crazy though. I have like six guys who are going to win this golf tournament. And the next two are Eric Cole and Ryan Fox. Eric Cole, it's pretty simple. I think he's just very well-rounded, and he's played consistent great golf all year. He's probably not going to win, on all honesty, but I do like 200-1. You can probably shop around, grab a better number out there, but it's just a shot. I think every year with the U.S. Open, there's like one or two guys who are like, who the hell is this? And like, why is he doing this? And this year, I think it's Eric Cole. You know, your Blandy guys of that nature. And then Ryan Fox, 250-1. I think this is one of my favorite value bets, I guess. I think he should be way lower than this, though. This is one of my guys. I kind of lose money on him at majors all the year, or every major. But he has win equity. He's won a few times, won twice, or two or three times last year, I think. He hits it an absolute mile. He's shown up at majors this year. I think T26 at the Masters, T23 at the PGA. Last year at Southern Hills, he went 70, 70, 70, and then 77 on Sunday. Was out of contention, but it was still a pretty good result. And, you know, he's had great play at courses with those uneven lies. He's won at St. Andrews before at the Alfred Dunhill Links. He's had good Augusta performances and, you know, great putter, great long iron wedge player. He's actually really good at out of the rough, too. You can kind of mess around with that on day to golf. He's an above average approach player in those situations. So 250-1, he's also a super good putter if it's just absurdly hot. His career, he is the same age as Shane Lowry, but his career kind of reminds me of his, where Shane Lowry kind of just like peaked 3-4 years ago. And then, you know, he bagged a major. And we haven't really had a deep, deep shot win in a while. And that's probably because of, you know, just the absolute world-class players at the top who kind of aren't allowing that to happen. He's got the tools to where he can kind of do it. And, you know, he's not going to overpower a course like this, but four rounds of golf, all I'm asking. He's probably a better first round leader bet. Honestly, that's how I should be playing him. You know what? I'm actually going to do that right now. So bear with me. All right, this is bad radio. Placement bets time. So just to recap, outright bets. Going to wait, be patient on Scotty, see if we can get a good live number on Thursday or Friday. Colin Morikawa, 35-1. Cam Smith, 30-1. Justin Thomas, 45-1. Eric Cole, 200-1. Cameron Young, 40-1. And Ryan Fox, 250-1. I will recap this at the end. Placement. Scottie Scheffler, T10, -110. As I said before, I mean, I covered it. His floor is just absurdly high. He's not going to hit the ball as well as he did in Memorial, but you have to think his putting will be better. I don't really get it, in all honesty, because he was a phenomenal putter last year. But the lag putting's good. We're going to start to see some regression soon. His hands are still insane. It's going to be good. It's going to hold the floor. Coming up, Xander, top 10, plus 230. He is super consistent in U.S. Opens. I think this course is set up like a dream for him. Just that consistent, you know, middle of the fairway. You know, he kind of follows the Brooks book, where, you know, he finds the middle of the greens and it kind of just holds like a level of consistency in all these majors. And that's why we see him, you know, come in ninth place, 10th place. He just kind of lacks a little bit of that dog, which is why I like the T10 a little bit more. I could see him winning too. He's from San Diego, went to San Diego State. Actually just threw out the first pitch of the Padres game. I don't really care about that. I don't even know if his results in California are that good. So when you hear people say that, laugh at them and tell them they're an idiot. But just, he's an all-around player and you need an all-around game at the U.S. Open. And then I believe this is my favorite bet of the week. Just Ricky Fowler, top 20. Ricky Fowler, top 10. Plus 190 and plus 430, respectively. Look, talent-wise, he's a top 15 golfer in the world. He's also, I think it's fair to characterize him as a loser. You know, Xander might qualify for that. You know, Tommy Fleetwood, as mentioned before. But I do think talent-wise, he's top 15 golfer in the world. He's a complete player. He's well above average in, you know, every category, putting, around the green, iron shots, wedge shots, and driving. The Butch Harmon experience really worked out for him. So since the Farmers in January, he's missed one cut. Actually, it goes a lot longer than that since he's missed one cut. But since that time, he has never been worse than T31. And I do think on a tougher course like this, his consistent ball striking will be rewarded here. I'm very excited to watch him play this week. And then just to kind of wrap things up, I got a couple matchup bets. I'll probably have a couple first-round leader bets that I will tweet out from the Sharpside Pod, which at the Sharpside Pod, follow on Twitter. But matchups, so I'm going to be fading Max Homa, Brooks Koepka, and Victor Hovland. I think they're a little mispriced in the markets right now. So there are a couple. I was looking up at a couple different books because I know that sometimes, you know, people only have one book and there's you know, it might be tougher to find. Like they got different matchups in all of them is what I'm trying to say. So there's like Tony Finau over Homa. That was about -120, I believe I saw. I think that's, I would bet the hell out of Tony Finau on that. Ricky Fowler over Homa, I love. That was pretty similar. Actually, I think Fowler might have been a dog to him, which I loved. And then I saw Cam Smith at -135 over Max Homa, and that is, love that. Max Homa has still been really bad in majors. I'm fading the hole. He shot a 61 when it was a way easier and way different golf course when he was in college like 8 years ago. I don't care about that. He's shown he's still not great when it comes to difficult, low, under par winning score courses. And I think this is going to be pretty similar. If he goes out and wins, look, that's on me. The other thing is that it's not like it's in Los Angeles, yeah, but it's Bermuda greens. It's styled and kind of shaped and formatted a bit differently than Riviera and Torrey Pines. And so I'm really not losing oversleep. I'm going to bet him to miss the cut too. Fade the narrative a little bit. I know he's really popular. He's funny. He's an outstanding interview, but it's, you know, let's make some money here, huh? Then I bet Rory over Brooks and I bet Rahm over Brooks. Those were -140, I believe. I think this is the one I had to kind of work to get to just because Brooks is so damn consistent in majors. But I do think Rory and Rahm are significantly, significantly better. I saw Scotty over Brooks was like -205, and I'm just not going to lay that. If I can get a -1.5 prop, I will be looking at that. But, you know, it's. I saw the dumbest tweet ever. Oh my gosh. A guy was trying to, he was trying to point out that like Brooks and Rory are like the same, they're basically the same value in, you know, outright markets. So why is Rory such a big favorite over Brooks? Like, dude, that is not how it works at all. It's Rory's baseline of play is so much higher than Brooks. Same with Rahm's. And trying to compare those two, like winning an outright is all ceiling. Winning a matchup like this has way more to do with floor than it does ceiling. Is ceiling still factored in a little bit? But if we're just taking the floors of both players, Rory comes in the top 10, like, and every major he wants to. John Rahm's a little bit different, I would say. I do like the Rory matchup over Brooks a little bit more than Rahm just because of Rory's consistency. But, you know, as I said before, number one, Scotty. Number two, Rahm, with a bullet both. And then I would listen to, you know, three through five, anyone like Rory, Hovland, Cam Smith, Brooks. And personally, in terms of just pure talent, I'm going Rory. The wedges really piss me the hell off. And there you are going to get a lot of those, you know, 125, 140-yard wedge shots. But you're also going to get the just absurd, you know, 210, 240 yard approach shots from Rory, where when he's cooking with those, you know, he's bobbing his head up and down, shaking his ass, running up the fairway, which really pisses me off. Not a Rory guy right here. That's what makes him who he is, and that's why he's going to finish his career with the legacy that he does. That means that, I mean, I don't think Rory's winning. He can, but sorry. A little bit of Rory tangent there. Rory over Brooks, Rahm over Brooks. Then finally to Hovland. Look, I'm not going to call it a Jeremy Lin run because Hovland is way more talented and has a legitimate best player in the world future in front of him. But I think this, I'm just fading recent form. I think he's a little bit overvalued here. I'll happily take Xander over Hovland. I saw Cantlay over Hovland too. Cantlay over Hovland, I have not bet. That will take me a lot of work to get there because Cantlay also just has an absolute dog shit track record in majors. So, but Xander over Victor Hovland, if you can find that, I would bet that. I truly do love that bet. It's very excited. Sorry, that was a lot. It's a lot for me too. I need some water. But the 2022 US Open. I'll kind of recap all the bets real quick. All right, so we got Colin, 35-1 outright. Kim Smith, 30-1 outright. Justin Thomas, 45-1 outright. Cameron Young, 40-1 outright. Eric Cole, 200-1 outright. Ryan Fox, 250-1 outright. Placement bets. Scotty, top 10, minus 110. Xander, top 10, plus 230. Ricky, top 20, plus 190. Ricky, top 10, plus 430. And matchups, I will be fading Max Homa, fading Brooks Koepka, and fading Victor Hovland. And, you know, sprinkle a little bit on Max Homa to miss the cut. That will be it. Make sure to follow the Sharp Side Pod at the Sharp Side Pod on Twitter. Been scheduling it out. College football starts soon. Going to be trying to write some articles. We'll be tweeting out links to those. And yeah, follow, retweet, interact, DM me with any questions, anything you like, don't like. Call me an idiot. Say, Chaz, you're stupid. Brooks Koepka is going to win this. You're going to lose your matchup bets. You know what? Yeah, you're probably right. Hey, he hasn't yet. And look, I told a lot of friends at the Masters, said Brooks Koepka at 20-1 is the worst bet I've ever seen. And I was right. And then, you know, I may have doubled down and said he's not going to do it again. You know, 18-1 or whatever the hell he was. Stupid bet. And I have no comment after that. But thank you guys for listening. And for the first time in a while, let's go win some money.